Our next case is number 21-1946, Aquila Innovations, Inc. v. Advanced Micro Devices, Inc. Okay, Mr. Shern.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The Board's determination that Claim 1 is obvious over the combination of Ober and Nakazaitov should be reversed for three reasons. First, the Board's findings were not supported by the evidence in the record. Second, the Board implied an incorrect and inconsistent construction of the ordinary operation modes in Claim 1. And finally, because the Board relied on a new theory of invalidity that was not presented in the petition, namely modifying Ober's microcontroller with the speed control circuit of Nakazaitov. Turning to the Board's findings, the Board's finding that first committed error by finding that Ober alone teaches or suggests the claimed ordinary operation modes of the 519 patent. The record shows that Ober does not disclose the claimed ordinary operation modes. Ober only discloses a single mode, run mode, in which Ober's state machine in the microcontroller, the low-speed clocks are false. While the Ober's microcontroller is active, there is only one CPU frequency that is provided to that CPU. What the Board pointed to for the purported suggestion was the reduced clocks in idle or sleep mode, but there's no evidence on the record to support such a suggestion. Dr. Albanese testified, AMD's expert testified, that, quote, a similar technique could be used for sleep mode as in run mode. And first, that implies that shows that Ober doesn't explicitly disclose these divided clocks in the run mode. But moreover, the record evidence simply doesn't support that such a suggestion or that a person of ordinary skill in the art would find that obvious. First, we introduced evidence that using the technique of writing to unused bits in the register would not result in the control of the clock frequencies, as AMD asserts. And in fact, the data sheets that we the data sheets on the record show that writing to unused or undefined bits, whatever you call the blank fields in the register, would produce undefined, unpredictable, or undesirable behavior. It would not result in what AMD asserts is the ordinary operation modes operating at different frequencies. I'm just wondering if your honors have any questions on these points so far.
Just go ahead.
Okay. The Board also erred in its analysis of the motivation to combine. AMD asserted that the references themselves motivated such a combination, and that because Ober didn't explicitly disclose how to reduce the CPU clock frequency during normal mode, that a person of skill in the art would have been motivated to go to Nakazaitov. But there's simply no evidence on the record that shows this. And in fact, what we showed was that Ober, the principal purpose of Ober, was to introduce a microcontroller that is able to independently control the power consumption of the peripheral subsystems within the microcontroller. Because as Ober teaches, the conventional way of reducing or stopping the system clock to reduce power was undesirable because it did not optimize the power consumption of the peripherals. And because of that, it introduced this decentralized approach. And this was also the subject of claim construction when the Ober patent was in litigation. The district court in that case also construed and interpreted Ober to espouse a decentralized approach. That the evidence shows that one would not, personal skill in the art would not use Obers to reduce the system clock frequency because overall that would cut against Obers' stated purpose of controlling the power consumption in the peripherals. On the second point, the board also erred in its construction of ordinary operation modes. The board's construction, we submit, was inconsistent. The board found that the preamble of Claim 1, a system LSI having a plurality of ordinary operation modes and a plurality of special modes in response to frequencies provided to the CPU, did not require the ordinary operation modes to have different frequencies in the preamble. But later on in the body of the claim, for the limitation of clock control, a first memory storing a clock control library for controlling a clock frequency transition between said ordinary operation modes, the board acknowledged, yes, there the ordinary operation modes do have different frequencies so that there can be a transition. And that's reflected in the rest of the claim, where the clock control library writes the value into the register of the system control circuit, which is the actual hardware that actuates the...
When you look at that argument that you just made, aren't you arguing or aren't you inviting us to import a limitation from another claim element into the preamble that you're addressing?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because it's...
You agree that that would be incorrect to do that?
I'm not sure what you're...
That would be error to import a claim limitation from another claim into the preamble of another claim.
That would depend. If here we are talking about the same term used in the preamble and in the body of the claim, that's been given two interpretations by the board. First, in the preamble, where the board said that, well, the plurality of ordinary operation modes provided in response to clock frequencies supplied to CPU don't require different frequencies. And then later in the body of the claim, the ordinary operation modes do have different frequencies because there has to be clock frequency transitions between said ordinary operation modes. And the body of the claim there, the said ordinary operation modes, as the board acknowledged in the final written decision, refers back to the ordinary operation modes of the preamble, which the board agreed is limiting. So we submit that the board, in saying the ordinary operation modes don't have to be the same, don't have to be different frequencies in the preamble, but have to be different frequencies in the body of the claim, that was incorrect and that was error.
Mr. Chung, you made a point that I'm not sure I quite got. Something about how a modification to Ober would not be undertaken because something about undermining Ober's effort to save power with respect to peripherals.
That's correct.
Sorry for articulating it badly, but my question is, can you say that again so I might understand it better?
Of course, Your Honor. The theory in the petition was that a person of ordinary skill in the art would take Ober's microcontroller and then load Nakazato's power-saving driver into Ober's memory banks, execute it, and arrive at the invention claimed in the 519 patent. The power-saving driver of Nakazato teaches that its power-saving driver and utility writes to a register and in its speed control circuit, which is off-chip, and then a separate chip from the CPU, which then will reduce the system frequency on the board that's provided to the CPU. And so based on AMD's asserted combination was that combining these two would modifying Ober's microcontroller by installing Nakazato software on it would result in the invention claimed in the 519 patent. However, one of AMD's assertions in support of this was that the technique of reducing CPU frequency to supply power was known. And the 519 patent specification does cite to, for example, the ST7 microcontroller, the ARM920T microcontroller, some examples of conventional microcontrollers at the time that did use this technique. But the data sheets that we submitted of those microcontrollers say that you can't write to the blank registers without the microcontroller performing unpredictably and undesirably, or the or that the output would straight up be ignored. So what AMD is saying would be the combination would actually not result in the claimed invention of the 509 patent. Simply installing the software, writing to a blank field in the system Ober's power management block would not result in Ober the run mode CPU frequency being reduced as AMD's assert. And finally, Grounds, I would like to address the new theory that the board relied on in the final written decision. As I've mentioned several times before, the combination in the petition was to use Ober's hardware, Nakazato software, put them together, and there you go. We argued in below that, well, as I've said, that combination wouldn't do what AMD says it does, and that further actual hardware modification that was not asserted in the petition would be required. In the final written decision, the board said that we find that a person with skill in the art would take Nakazato's speed control circuit and just slap it onto Ober's microcontroller, and that would achieve the combination. And this is something that had not appeared at any time before in this proceeding. It wasn't in the petition. It wasn't raised in the reply to the patent owner response. It wasn't raised at the argument. We simply had no opportunity to respond to this new theory that the board put forward. And so we submit that was a violation of Aquila's rights under the Administrative Procedure Act.
Matt, you want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
I would, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hawes?
Hi. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court? I'll just address the points raised by my colleague. I'd like to start with the question asked by Judge Toronto about this issue of being able to use Ober, which teaches, as is shown in the final written decision, everything about this claim except using software to control the register that changes the speed. That's really all this is about. Nothing else in this claim is, everything else in this claim is admittedly by Aquila taught by Ober. And Ober and Nakazato are compatible references. They both teach the same advantage of if you lower the speed, you lower the power. And that's an important advantage in CPUs. Every CPU that goes in one of our laptops, the company who's building it cares a lot about how much power it draws, because that's battery life, that's how marketable it is, that's how well it does when you and I make decisions about which laptop to buy. So this is not a minor issue. This is not a minor motivation. So now let's talk about this particular issue about the data sheets and whether or not a particular data sheet says, well, this register bit is unused. That's right. It is unused. That's the whole point, was it was available, and the experts explained exactly how, or AMD's expert explained exactly how, that available, currently unused, but available register bit could be used with the software taught by Nakazato to control the system speed of the CPU and therefore lower the power usage of the overall device. And the board specifically looked at all of the evidence in rejecting this argument. And I would turn, Your Honor, to page 61 of the appendix. The board walks through evidence including the 519 patent's background, the Ober reference, specific parts of it, Nakazato, specific parts of it, and specific parts of both experts' testimony, and concludes these documents provide ample evidence that a system CPU can operate and behave properly at multiple and lower frequencies.
So just again, I'm afraid I don't think I've wholly internalized it. I think I heard Mr. Chang said that maybe something in the data sheets said don't use unused registry bits. All right. And are you saying that, first of all, I don't know if that's accurate, but if it's accurate, are you saying that there was contrary evidence and the board credited the contrary evidence, or have I correct anything that needs correction there?
You're probably right. So first of all, what the data sheet says is it's unassigned, right? So Ober, you know, and the chip in question, it's unassigned, right? So as built, it's not performing a role. That doesn't mean it can't perform a role if you rebuilt it based on the teachings of Nakazato, but as built, it doesn't perform that role. But this is not an anticipation case. This is an obviousness case. And this court has said time and time again, it's not about whether you can cut out figures from the two different references and glue them together. It's about whether the teachings of the references, not the specific inventions that have been claimed, but the teachings in the hands of a person of ordinary skill in the art, would that person would be motivated to combine them and would have a reasonable chance of success in combining them. And here the board identified a wealth of evidence backing up both of those findings, and we didn't hear anything about the board's evidence. We heard about the evidence Aquila put in, about how this district court construed Ober and about this data sheet. That's fine. That would have been fine if Aquila had won below, but here we're not looking at that. We're looking at whether the fact finder, the board, had its own evidence, and it did. It identified it, and we haven't heard anything about that evidence, either in the briefs or in the argument. It's basically ignored. Does that answer your question, Your Honor?
I think so. Thank you.
Okay. So then I just moved to the other points that were discussed. So, for example, he criticizes the board in saying that Ober had ordinary operation modes, but it's important to listen to his language carefully. He says the board was incorrect that Ober disclosed ordinary operation modes. That's not what the board said. The board said it suggested ordinary operation modes. And the board cited to column 10, lines 1 and 2, as supporting that. And the language there says, with regard to this dividing clock, and also may provide a divided clock signal to the subsystem during a normal mode. So all the board was saying was, look, there's a suggestion of that, not necessarily a disclosure, and that was the whole point.
What would you say is the difference between, you know, in the patent law context, a suggestion and a disclosure?
Well, Your Honor, I would say that the teaching here, a teaching, of course, is just a broad technology. A disclosure is enough so that someone can make it without, you know, what's the rule under enablement? That you're able to make it without undue effort, right? So that would be a disclosure. And we presume that prior art in the form of U.S. patents does meet that level of disclosure. A suggestion is, here's something you can do, but doesn't necessarily give all the details so that the person of ordinary skill in the art could meet the enablement. It would be my view of how those play out. But the bottom line is that the board said suggestion and proved suggestion and had substantial evidence for it. With regard to the district court construed Ober during litigation, as I said, that may have been evidence Aquila put in, but that in no way shows that the evidence the board relied upon was insubstantial. That's not the test on appeal. Now let's talk a little bit about this issue with regard to whether or not there was inconsistency in the board's claim construction. This is not an inconsistency case. Simply put, the analogy would be a preamble that says a chair with a further limitation that says a chair having four legs. The fact that the board would say, well, a chair isn't required to have four legs just from the term chair. It's required to have four legs because you included the language with four legs. That is exactly what this court has done many times in saying where there's additional language, you don't read the initial term as having that limitation. That would be a surplusage problem. And that's exactly what happened here. You had ordinary operation modes, and then in a later limitation, you had ordinary operation modes with this transition of frequency. And the board, reasonably enough, said ordinary operation modes doesn't require that. But later on, there's a limitation that does. And it used the proper evidence at each time to say, here it is for the preamble where it doesn't require it. Here it is for limitation 1.1 where it does. Fairly normal claim construction. No problem with ordinary operation modes being interpreted differently because it was the additional language that caused the change in the interpretation. Finally, we have this issue of the argument that there was a new theory because the initial theory was just hardware plus software. And I turn the court to the reply brief, the yellow brief, and specifically in that brief on page 6. Because, yes, there's an attorney argument there where Aquila says, AMD admits that the petition's theory was Ober's hardware combined with Nakazato's software. But that attorney argument survives for roughly 6 lines, because right underneath that, Aquila gives a quote about Ober, which, so this is like three lines underneath that 2A heading. Ober discloses a system LSI with a clock subsystem that supplies various frequencies of clocks and a system control circuit that can switch between clocks frequencies via a register. 2 lines later, Nakazato discloses user-selectable speeds in a utility that uses a driver to control CPU frequency with a register. There's no dichotomy between hardware and software between these two references. If there were, where are you putting register? Clearly, both references understood that there was hardware involved and taught the combination of software and hardware. So the very dichotomy that they premise this new theory argument on, even when they cherry-pick their best sentences from all the briefs and the decisions, they can't maintain it because it wasn't there. Both references taught that you could use software and hardware. And the 591 patent itself in the background taught that it was known in the art, in the ST7, to be able to modify the frequency at which the CPU ran in order to save power. This is a garden variety obviousness case. The board had the evidence it needed. There's certainly no claim construction problem with regard to what was raised today at argument. So unless the panel has additional questions, I ask you to affirm and give up my time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hawes. Sure.
Thank you, Your Honor. Addressing this issue that's come up several times now about what exactly the petition has asserted, I would direct the court to Appendix 132 for really what the gist of AMD's theory is. There, AMD says that combining Ober and Nakazato would yield predictable results because Nakazato's driver and utility would merely be executed from Ober's memory banks to adjust Ober's CPU clock control register, resulting in an integrated system for adjusting CPU clock. And my colleague is correct that physical combinability is not required, but this was their theory. They relied solely on Ober's hardware and Nakazato's software. If there is a dichotomy, it exists in the petition's theories, which we had to respond to. If you look further, the court looks further at Appendix 133 and the section that follows, you see that the petition relies solely on Ober to teach or suggest the preamble. AMD did not bring in Nakazato in hardware or software form to teach the preamble. And that is where, that's kind of where the issue is here. I also wanted to address that this characterization that Ober discloses everything but the using software to control the register. That is actually one of the big points of contention between the parties, that we do not admit that that is the case for Ober. In fact, one of the big arguments is that Ober doesn't disclose in run mode using reduced frequencies because its power management state machine, everything that defines Ober's microcontroller in the patent is premised on run mode, a specific state in the state machine, having low speed clocks equals false. And so there's no teaching that Ober does that. Now onto this thing about a suggestion. That's where I mentioned earlier that AMD's expert testified that, well, yeah, we can use a similar technique to just write available registers, bits in the available, in the blank fields in the SFR62, and that would result in the resulting clock frequency reduction. But as we've just discussed in the data sheets, that's actually not the case. And the data sheets don't call them, regardless of how you want to characterize them, unused, undefined, they're blank. Nothing's being written to them. And the data sheets say clearly, don't do anything with them. And so where the point is being made that, well, if you just rebuilt the microcontroller to do it, that's not the theory that was presented. The theory was merely executing Nakazato software from Ober's hardware, and the rest would follow.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
both counsel. Case is submitted.